Peter, welcome return to my friend and co-host Michael Chan on the Hellbound podcast. I've missed him dearly because I've not managed to talk to you and everything. You've been so busy, so like we all are, but you so especially, my friend. You know, it's I've missed you, dude. But we've had a great guest host, Will Cotton, a dear friend of mine, who's I've learned a lot of kind of production tips and tricks, and I've learned a lot from. So it was really great to have him on. He's a massive horror fan as well. So
It's been a really good few weeks of me listening to the show instead of being on, because I, as Alex has mentioned, I've been quite busy. I got quite a few acting gigs over the last while, and actually more upcoming. I don't even know how you and I are going to keep up the schedule.
I know. Well, that's the kind of beauty of Will stepping in every so often, and it's just like banking good material. That's the key thing, is that when Will comes in, he's got really a different perspective on horror, and he likes to go into the nuances and themes and everything. So he's great.
But for those of you who don't remember who I am or are tuning in for the first time, since we didn't do proper introductions, I am one of the co-hosts of the Hellbound podcast. I forgot to bring my mic out, my special microphone of echo. And I am Michael Chan. I am an actor. You can see me in Star Trek Discovery Season 4 and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, that is still like an epic credit. And I only see positive things for you in the future as well. So more power to you, Michael.
Thank you.
So I think today I've alluded to
it. Who are you?
Well, I'm Alex Blackburn, and I have an advert in the cinema soon. That's something else. I am a filmmaker, founder of two festivals, and a editor by trade. That's about it, really. Things have been, you can see my, if you're in the UK, and I'd say the north half of the UK, so Scotland, Wales, most of England and Northern Ireland, you'll be seeing a trailer for the university I do a lot of work for, and it's a promotional trailer for going to university. So I've shot 95% of the footage that's in the trailer. It's only 30 seconds, but I am really proud of it. We've just done the Dolby mix, we've just done a color mix, and that's all ready to go.
That is amazing. Any horror stories, since we're a horror podcast, aside from this horrible, horrifying intro that, any new listeners will be very confused by? Well, normally we do better, guys.
Well, my backseat belt alarm thing went off again. So during the day this time, not on the Yorkshire Moors, apparently someone was undoing the backseat. I was going to say life raft then, but that's something else. So the belt alarm went off in the back of my car again during one of my journey this morning to work.
Oh my God.
So yeah, that's a little scary. I know, and I always instinctively look backwards. I'm like, I know there's no one there. There's just plastic bags. So I don't know why it's going off now. A distinct lack of sleep is giving me nightmares and stuff recently. So that's my kind of horror, real horror at the moment.
Well, in lesser horror, but kind of horror, parental horror, my daughter, I think I told you a while back, she shoved actual poo in my mouth. Well, this time she asked me to take some yellow banana scented Play-Doh and make it into a poo. When I made it into the shape of a poo, I handed it to her. She declared that it was poo and then proceeded to shove it into my mouth. And let me tell you, scented Play-Doh is disgusting. It doesn't feel like normal Play-Doh. It's more wet, moist. It's moist. And having yellow banana-scented Play-Doh shoved in my mouth, it's just disgusting. So
that's a unique experience, I guess.
Also, took my family to go strawberry picking, and ended up with bites from these little... I don't want to say the word out loud, only because I don't want people to mistake it for something else, but it's C-H-I-G-G-E-R. That's what the bug is called.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, so I got bites on my feet and on my hands, and there's so many on the soles of my feet that, like, it's affecting the nerves. So every time I walk, it feels like I'm walking on pins and needles. My daughter has them up her legs. My wife has them on her butt. Let's talk about actual horror stuff that people who are listening are probably more interested in. Any movies you want to talk about?
I've highlighted this before, and I watched it recently. Well, watched it a few weeks ago before our last episode. I've watched Titanic 666 now, finally. A Tubi special, Tubi what original. What did you think, Michael?
I quit halfway. I don't often quit, but I quit halfway. I haven't finished it. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tubi. That movie is so bad, it's bad.
Yeah, I the biggest issue almost straight away was making out the crew and crew and everyone else that passed away on the boat are evil beings. There was no reasoning behind why the captain EJ Smith is a demonic ghost that his great great granddaughter brings back from the dead or whatever. And it was that's the biggest issue for me, apart from it being absolutely awful. It was
anyone notice that the cargo hold was actually just a warehouse?
Yeah. At least put it like a curved bulkhead on one side.
Dude, a boat's not made of bricks.
Yeah, and do you notice the hallways are obviously a hotel.
Yes, very much so.
It was so clear.
Sorry, not bricks, cinder blocks, but like also like how could any like if how could that woman sneak into the cargo hold and then there's no like crew there and then more people sneak into the cargo hold? Like, where's the crew? This movie makes no sense.
Well, if they'd have, you know, they're making out it's a marvel of technology and there's a whole thing towards the end when they're trying to stop the boat from sinking and they go into the engine with the main engine room and there's no crew there. You've got hundreds, if not thousands, of people on board. Where are the crew? And as soon as the film opened, I think the opening for a Tubi original was actually the best thing from it.
The opening of the movie.
Yeah, the opening of the movie. Yes. And the title sequence itself with the water and everything. I thought that was really well done.
Oh, that was great. And then I think they spent a whole budget on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it was absolutely trash. Yeah. It was just god awful.
I feel bad because like even the acting was bad, but I don't know if I want to blame the actors.
Yeah,
just like, because there's a lot going on, and you know, sometimes actors, even if they're good, they're given really bad material to work with. I don't know how much better they can make it.
Yeah. I would say this is a small technical thing, but the audio, when you listen to a professionally recorded film or ADR, there's a quality to it. And based on my recent experience, you can really amp it up and it'll just, a little bit of extra effort, you can make it sound like money. You can make it sound amazing. Mm-hmm. And something you've produced, we won't talk about that now, but something you've produced, and I've seen bits and bobs, it sounds amazing, brilliantly produced, because we've not talked about that thing yet, but honestly, amazing. This sounds like you're recording in a toilet. You know, it's so just goddamn awful, and there's no forgiving that. I think if you can't get great audio, great visuals, I think from something that's obviously got a lot of money involved, and some actors I recognize, like I think it's Jamie Bamber, who played one of the main roles in Battlestar Galactica.
Mm.
And if you've got him, I swear you catch him laughing at how bad this is halfway through. It's so awful.
I think like if the guy had to do media on this, it's one of those things where they just sit there and, you know, their way through interviews, because what can you do if you're an honest person? You would be sitting there going, this is trash.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to go into it too much because it would be giving too much of our energy about this awful, awful
thing. True. Now, I would like to once again apologize to Tubi for trashing your movie because if you ever want to book me and pay me lots of money to be in one of your movies, I'd be happy to do it. I'm sure I can help you improve on your movies.
Yeah,
tighten up your scripts. Maybe allocate your money a little smarter. All those things I can help you with. So just because we're not liking your Titanic 666 movie doesn't mean that either of us doesn't mean that we cannot be hired to be in any of your things.
Yeah, well, you know, if Netflix can improve their movie output, then I think Tubi can as well. I'd love to talk about Stranger Things. Have you finished every episode?
Yep, I definitely have.
And what was your kind of takeaway? Who's your favorite characters? And are you happy with where they left it? We can leave out specifics, but...
I will just say that anyone that died, it was too obvious. But other than that, I loved this season.
Yeah, initially, the first couple of episodes or so, it was almost like difficult for me to get into it. And then I realized where they were going and how they'd stepped up. I think the when it was just darker straight away. And I was like, that's quite a brave thing to really mature where you're going with it, what you're doing with certain characters, how you're portraying those characters a little bit further. And, you know, they're a little bit older. And, yeah, I thought the big bad, Vecna. I thought the performance by, no spoilers, but the performance by the actor, the overall, the origins of it and all of that, I thought that was a marvel. And I really hope to see that performer in many things now. But, yeah, I was kind of blown away by the whole thing. And emotionally involved.
No, I was
really emotionally involved this year. And I had tears at certain parts, even towards the end. And the biggest surprise for Vicky and I when we watched this was we knew there were two episodes that were, what, a month apart to finish the show. But we didn't realize we were just about to watch it at like 11:30 a few nights ago. We only watched it last night. And it was 2.5 hours. I was like, all right, that was a big surprise. So we had to kind of set up, you know, like, you know, when you watch a feature film together and you've got a lot of responsibilities, it's like, when can we actually wedge that in? But yeah, it was an absolute pleasure watching Stranger Things 4, or season 4.
And I will say, if there's a second criticism, just trying not to spoil anything, the story arc involving Winona Ryder... if they had taken out that entire section, it wouldn't have made a difference.
No, it wouldn't have. There are some.
If you really think about it, it was just, I think their cast is so big that they had to do something with certain characters.
Yeah. You know the so reasoning.
I don't want to give away.
You know the reasoning they go back to a certain place, and their theory about everything. Like you say, there's no indication with what they're doing had any effect. So that was a big issue.
Well, I don't mean the effect. I mean, because in the end, what they were doing did help. But what I'm saying is if that entire section of the story was removed, as in it never existed, the story that we end up getting still would have worked. And that's something, well, almost. But I just felt like that was extraneous to a point. I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. There were fun parts of it. But I felt like, okay, this is the one section of the show where it's like, what do we do with these people? Well, let's send them on a crazy adventure. That works, right? It's fun and people enjoy it. And yeah, like I said, I enjoyed it. It's just, I recognize the kind of, it just didn't fit as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't, I guess for me, it didn't take away from the season. I just wish it had more meaning.
Absolutely.
No, I don't mean to the whole Vecna thing. It's just more. I just wish it fit a little better.
Absolutely. I think that, that's a really good observation, actually, that you could have easily lifted that section you're talking about completely out. And, mm-hmm. It would have been, I would have enjoyed it just as much. It was a bit of a strange one. Did you have any favorite characters this season?
I still think Steve is amazing. I've always been a fan of the idea that, you know, he wasn't that nice, right, to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you have this person growing up and realizing their faults and then redeeming himself. And now they're a good guy. And that's big for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love redemption. I think Max was my favorite character this year. I think there was a lot more meat on the bones for her character.
Definitely. Lucas's performance, by the way, near the end of the season. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Absolutely. Holy. Fantastic.
When he was screaming. Oh.
Yeah. And when legs were getting broken and people's souls were being sucked out and all of that, like, are they really going this dark? I was pleasantly surprised because I like, if it were, you know, if the, like we've talked about many times, if the gore or the horror makes sense, then why not? And I think they really did well, especially, I'm going to say one moment, above the lake in the water when that character rises up and their legs are broken and all of that. That is
right.
It's so sinister about being on a body of water at night as well. And yes, that happening. And it's just, I absolutely loved it. And at the end of the season, there's a few tears there for certain characters. And, mm-hmm. but I'm just bowled away. And like, I watched I think it was a Vanity Fair interview with Duffer Brothers about how they were getting lots of no's when they were suggesting their ideas. And I think what they've done, and Sean Levy, as a producer and a director in episodes, I think where they're going, and I think there's one more season, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
I think I really hope that final season's satisfactory, because it's so difficult to end a big, big show like Game of Thrones and Sopranos or whatever it is. I hope they do a stellar job with this last season that's coming up. And hopefully we don't wait 5 years for it, because I think it was like 3-4 years at least.
Yeah. The kids are a little bit older looking than I think they should be. But I mean, there's an obvious real world reason for that, because they're all old now. Like Max is what, like 21 now?
I heard that they were going to go leap forward a little
time
bit.
Jump? In terms of time. That would make sense. Oh my God. And Finn Wolfhard is like, he's so tall and he's a stick.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He is
just so lanky. I'm just like, wow, you, it's like he sprouted and then didn't gain any meat.
Yeah, that seems so true.
I'm just like, wow, what happened? Whoa. Like, even from Ghostbusters to this.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
He is so tall.
Yeah, in the last couple of years, so, oh my God. But yeah, I thought a great show, and yeah, when running up that hill came up, oh my God, it's just unbelievable. Absolutely. And it's great that Kate Bush has got a new audience now, like a refreshed audience.
Yeah.
Because you've got people that have been listening to since the late 70s, so
yeah,
that's fantastic that happens. I believe you've been watching some sort of prank show. Is that horror-based?
Prank Encounters. They're supposed to be pranking, like doing horror pranks. So you're following two people who are supposed to be like non-actors, and then everyone else is an actor. And they put these two real-life people in a scenario where they feel like they've been hired for a one-day job by a temp agency. And then they eventually bring the two people, because the two people always start separate, and then they bring them together somehow, and all the craziness begins. For example, like in episode two, there's like these deaths happening on this part of a road. So one of them is going with an inspector and the other one is going with I forgot what. And then they both end up on the section of road and then there's crazy horror stuff. The problem I'm having with the show and why I quit after episode two. Actually, I was going to quit after episode one, but I gave it a shot with episode two. Is that, have you ever seen those pranks online from overseas where you have like, you know, like the ring, the girl from the ring, they'll have someone dressed like that and they're in the hallway and then the lights pop up and then she's in the lift or in the hallway or something, right? And they're great. Like you laugh and it's scary and the people are genuinely scared, right? I think Prank Encounters was trying to recreate that here. So mistake number one is having two people. Instead of one person to prank because it becomes convoluted. But problem number two is that it's obviously fake. I don't understand because the producers of the show, I remember looking this up, have done prank shows for like over a decade. So they know what they're doing, but the show is shot like a reality show with multiple angles where it's obvious there's a cameraman standing in the room. Right in front of them. So how could these people possibly, even if they're real, like they were told there might be cameras for X, Y, or Z reason. I mean, there's clearly good lighting. They're mic'd. There's no way their audio is that good without being mic'd.
No chance, yeah.
And like I said, sometimes the shots are like so stupid. Like one of them, like episode one, they're in a house. And one of the shots is from the ground. Like on a handheld. Like these people are hand-holding the cameras too. So the camera's moving. It's not steady because if... I don't know. Gatton tried to do this kind of BTS show thing that they put online saying, oh, you know, the camera people were behind mirrors and stuff and hidden. I'm like, no, unless you're using like, you know, $100,000 zoom lenses, there's no way. And they're mic'd. How do you get audio? Like there's so many things that they asked him to say that I don't know, maybe he believes it, but as someone who is in the industry, hell, it doesn't really take a genius to look at this show and go, it's all fake.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is fake. And on top of all that, nothing they do is scary. Like the horror elements are not scary.
Yeah.
That
was the biggest takeaway for me. It was just how I think there's one about a roadside accident or a camp or something. I'm like, if you're shooting in a dark area, because you know, when you're shooting exteriors, it's so there's so much production that's needed to light anything. Because you're lighting the trees, you're lighting the subjects, you're lighting you know, partial bits of set or whatever. It's so much kind of complicated setup for it. And as soon as I realized, like you did very early on, that it was fake, I'm like, okay, you've just completely lost me. And people are so observant now. People know how reality shows work. And if they are faked, it's going to shine through so, so quickly. I watched just on a different note, I've been watching a lot of Below Decks, and they've got the dome-shaped cameras you see in restaurant reality shows or whatever.
Yeah.
They're hidden away in the ceiling. So say 75% of it is real and possible conversations around a boat. The production team might ask them to go and have a conversation about something that's just happened.
Yeah.
It's an actual boat. You can't fake docking a boat and loads of things you can't fake. With this, it was just, oh yeah, everything's fake. It's really poor.
Like, I mean, for anyone who might be like, oh, come on, Michael, they could be hidden behind stuff. I'm like, dude, then why are the lights on in the car? Who drives with all of their lights on in a car?
No one.
Exactly. Yeah. With multiple, and it's like, the conversations they have, it's just back and forth close-up shots.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how reality works. You don't do close-up shots of people talking. That's how movies work.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that if you were 13, 14, do you think the 13 or 14-year-old Michael Chan would have enjoyed this?
No.
Even kids, I guess, understand how these shows work. But yeah, it's utter garbage, really.
It's because there are reality shows.
Yeah.
That you would at least have a semi-understanding, even as a teenager or a tween, how some of these are supposed to look.
Yeah.
And like with YouTube and TikTok and all the security footage and everyone knows like the look of it. I mean, you don't necessarily need a fisheye camera, right? But when your quality is so, it's like 4K. Close-up shots back and forth on a and sometimes a handheld camera because it's shaking.
Yeah, there's professional found footage or professional way of shooting it poorly that makes it look real.
I mean, as a kid, I might like some of the. I might be immature, so I'll be like, ah, "That's funny," but like you know, some of the reactions. But like, I would already. I think. Even back then, I would have known it was fake. Like, there's no way I wouldn't have known. It's just that bad.
Well, just think about how aware kids are now, anyone that records video themselves, and how the level of understanding of how things are produced is clearer than ever before.
Kids nowadays have an understanding of technology, the likes of which my generation probably doesn't have. But I'm just saying that even my generation, at least, is not dumb enough to think that show is real.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we'll leave it there, Michael. It's an absolute pleasure to have you back.
Happy to be back.
And it's great to see you. And I know it's great to be busy. But it's also great to have some time to yourself as well. And we'll be recording very, very soon again, mate.
Absolutely. And hopefully next time I'll have my microphone thingy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I am going to find Return of the Mac or something to introduce you to this episode because it's a few weeks since we were back on. Check out season 4 of Star Trek Discovery to see Michael Chan in action.
Also, if you want to be horrified by my, according to reviews, nicely sized mini Michael, you can watch Kids in the Hall on Amazon Prime. I'm in that.
And do check out Michael Chan on TikTok as well. It's priceless. It's really priceless.
Yeah, that's at Michael C.W. Chan, C-H-A-N. But yes, and also, before we let you go, please, if you like what you're listening to, weird intro and all, please give us a 5-star, 10 out of 10, 5 out of 5 rating on whatever podcast platform or app that you are using. And please think about subscribing or following our show. It really does help us get featured on the front page or at the top of your app or platform, and then gets us more listeners, which then allows us to do more stuff. So again, please help us by giving us an amazing review and subscribing. Thank you.
And harness the darkness.
Harness the darkness.